So everything has an end. Now that's Shiva. He's a bad guy. He cancels everything out. Everything. But Shiva also, simultaneously, turns the end into a beginning. So Shiva is usually represented by the words death/regeneration. Because none of us have experienced anything so far in our lives that ended that didn't turn into something else. Period. Turns into something. It doesn't just end and then like, that's it. Off, just the void's left. No, it ends and something else begins. And we all know this, you know. You go to sleep at night, that's the end of that. And then you wake up and another one begins. My God. Now, if you take this far enough, you could probably, as the Hindus do along with the Buddhists, you could say, well, every life has an end and slash regeneration, and the next one comes along. It just goes on forever. So that's Shiva. He's a friend of those who want to have their illusions destroyed. Because if I don't want my illusions destroyed, then I may as well give up the so-called spiritual path. Because it consists of having one's illusion destroyed so one can see what is. So Shiva is the destroyer of illusions, which sounds kind of heavy. It really, to destroy illusions is to free somebody. So from that standpoint, Shiva is the redeemer through bringing everything to a close. Everything meaning illusions. Including the illusion that the universe exists and that we exist. Now this idea of Shiva being the forces that have to do with endings slash beginnings, it's said of him that the beginnings and the endings for which he's responsible occur simultaneously. So from the standpoint of Shiva, everything's beginning and ending simultaneously, which means time's an illusion. All there is simultaneity, which is also what Einstein discovered through reading the writings of Blavatsky. And the idea that, the idea that it's simultaneously coming into being and going out of being, that idea has a name, which is Nitya, N-I-T-Y-A, Nitya, Pralaya, P-R-A-L-A-Y-A. And that just means the simultaneity of beginnings and endings. Which, if a person thinks about it, or meditates on the idea, and starts to kind of understand it at some level, then the person begins to realize, if only conceptually, that time and space are illusory. Even though we function within them. So then it's argued, usually good-heartedly, it's been argued for centuries in the Hindu tradition. Okay, you got the Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, these three guys, the Trimurti. Which one's the main one? So you have a whole bunch of people in India and elsewhere who think Brahma is the main one. So they're worshippers of Brahma in the Indian caste system known as Brahmins. They're into beginnings. Yeah, they think Brahma is the main guy. Or at least maybe not arguably, but he's the one they're focused upon. In that sense, he's their main guy. Then there are the Vishnuites. They're the ones who are worshippers of Vishnu. And they too are all over India and elsewhere. Now the Brahmins and the Vishnuites don't fight. You know, they just have different preferences. The worshippers of Vishnu usually, which is preservation, are often connect their object of devotion to Krishna. Because Krishna is said to be an avatar of Vishnu. Preservation of the law. Preservation of the good law. So when things start, when the good law falls into enough misuse and disuse, then Krishna appears to restore it as an avatar of Vishnu. So people who are Vishnuites tend to worship Krishna, which means such a person would have, as Gandhi did, the Bhagavad Gita as their primary source of inspiration. Because the Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's teachings to Arjuna, the pupil. And thirdly, there are the Shaivites, the ones who choose Shiva as their main guy. And if you walk around India, cities, villages, doesn't matter, you'll find these guys and gals walking around, and they got ashes spread in a vertical line on their forehead. And that represents their devotion to Shiva. Now, a person can be have Shiva as his or her main object of devotion without having ashes on their forehead. It's not a requirement. But it's part of a tradition. But let's say an American were to feel or link up with what's the forces represented by Shiva. If that American, having decided to go on that way, was to start putting ashes on his or her forehead, that would merely indicate that they missed the point. It's not about ashes. So why do they have ashes on their foreheads? Because Shiva reduces everything to ashes. He burns everything up. That's why they have ashes on their forehead. So a devotee of Shiva, his or her goal, which is why there are fewer devotees of Shiva than there are of Brahma and Vishnu. The object of somebody who, a worshiper of Shiva, is to be reduced to ashes. Because as long as I exist, then I'm not going to be able to know Shiva. So I have to cease to exist and be reduced to ashes.